yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
A great woman of God, who is among the great company of last day apostles, sounding the trumpets, calling the church of Jesus Christ back to faith in God with signs and wonders and miracles, an authentic demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome, I am unoffendable, our own Bishop Coletta Vaughn. I am unoffendable. You are unoffendable. You are unoffendable. Bishop Coletta Vaughn, another hand of applause.
And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. Slip your hands up. Slip them up. You made a way. When I back. When I back was against the wall. And it looked. But you made a way. How many of you know he made a way? Come on. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Father, we thank you for the way that you have made for women. God, you made a way. When you sent Jesus Christ on the cross, you made a way for us. You made a way for us at that cross. There were women. You made a way for us when you were raised from the dead, because at the empty tomb, there were women. You made a way for us to have power, because in the upper room, there were women. And now in your church, in the marketplace, in banking and finance, in business, Jesus, you made a way. And every way that you made, God, you made it so that women can occupy until you come. So I thank you for the way that you made for us. That being a girl is not a curse. That being a woman is not a curse. You broke the curse. You broke the curse. You destroyed the curse and you raised us up to sit with you in heavenly places. So Jesus, you made a way for women. You made a way for us and you are still making a way for us. You help us in our homes. You help us on our jobs. You help us in the marketplace. You hear our prayers. When we cry out, you hear us because you made a way for us. And we thank you, Jesus. You keep moving mountains. You keep causing walls to fall. And we thank you. We thank you for making a way for daughters, for mothers, for sisters, for aunties. You made a way. We are equal now. We are equal, co-equal with God. And we are equal with Christ Jesus. We have been made to sit. You've given us gifts and talents and treasures and innovations and ideas and creativity. You have not withheld one good thing from your daughters. You made a way. When men mistreat us, Jesus, you lifted at us. When men don't talk right to us, Jesus, you lifted us up. I sing this song today, God, because you made a way for me. You made a way for me here in my brother's home. You made a way for me in the hearts of these women. You made a way for me in Nigeria, in Ghana. You made a way for me, God, in all of Africa, in this continent. You made a way for me here in Action. You made a way for me with Lady Rosa in her heart. You made a way, God. You make a way. God, you have not forgotten your daughters. And being born a girl is not a curse. And we interrupt and override every curse that has been spoken over your daughters. In the mighty name of Jesus, you made a way. You made a way when there was no way, when our backs were against the wall. When equality was nowhere near us. When injustice was our garment. Ah, Jesus, you made a way. Gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. That we can do great things in the earth. You made a way. And we're standing here today because you made a way. And we praise you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we serve you. Jesus, we obey you. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we worship you because you made a way for us. Thank you, Jesus. And we clap our hands because you made a way. Come on, come on. He made a way for us. He made a way for us. Every girl, every daughter, every sister, every mother began to yell, began to scream. He made a way. Every husband, every brother, every father yelled with us because he made a way for his daughters. He made a way. Woo! He made a way. He made a way. He made a way for us. Oh! Jesus made a way for us. For me to stand here in my brother's house. He made a way for me. We honor the Archbishop. In his absence, we honor his gratitude, his graciousness, his humbleness. God made a way for us. You are here now because God made a way for his girls to be here. For Lady Rosa, don't you just honor her? She is so absolutely gorgeous and smart and intelligent and anointed and wealthy and all of those wonderful things. And to these precious women who shared with us today, all of the daughters of God, all of the women of Arise, Jesus made a way for us. We are no longer under the curse. He made a way. Ought not this daughter of Abraham be loosed? We have covenant with God. He made a way. Slip those two hands up and for 30 seconds, thank Jesus for parting the Red Sea for women, for opening up the doors for girls, for making ways that women can have a voice and not be anonymous, not be silent. Thank him. Open your mouth. You may me when my back was against the wall and it looked as if it was over. Oh, but you made a way. Yes, you did. And I'm standing here only because Jesus made a way. Oh, yes, he did. Ooh, I don't know how, but he did it. He made a And I don't know why, but I'm grateful he made a way. Lift those hands, girls. And we're standing here only because Jesus made a way. He made a way. Woo, come on, come on. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, with protocol has been set. And we want to honor our papa again and his precious wife. And our pastor is here with us as well today. All of the men and women of God. The other night when I was with you, I started a conversation about being offended. And one of the areas, as I listened to some of the questions, that I want to pick up just a little before I get to the message, still has to do with being offended. And as women, sometimes our offense begins in our childhood, particularly with our fathers. The absence of our fathers, or the absence of their voice or their presence or their love, their affection, many times as girls, offends us. And we don't even know. Sometimes even the way a father treats a mother can offend the daughter and drive the daughter into silence, drive her into low self-esteem, drive her into areas where she looks for love from all the wrong men. Because your father is intended to be the first man in a daughter's life. And many times when that's not present, and many things can take that out. It can be economics, it can be death, sickness, it can be addictions. There are many things that sometimes can remove a father from a daughter's life at a critical time when she really does need her dad. I wrote a book, and you can find it on Amazon.com, called Teach Your Daughters to Fly. And it is a book about the relationship between fathers and daughters. And I deal with a lot of this in the book in terms of how women, I heard a question about women who are looking to be supported by married men. That is not just common to Ghana. That is a global problem. But when a father is in a daughter's life, it is a father that sets boundaries and begins to establish, if you will, what is good or edifying and what is not good. And when a father is absent from the home, and sometimes he can be in the home, but he's not talking. Or he's not present. Culture sometimes can keep a father silent. But dads, your daughter needs you to talk. Your daughter needs you to set boundaries. And when a father sees his daughter, no matter how old she is, with the wrong man, a father can cut it off. Many times, even in a woman's life, she struggles with having a relationship with God because he's a father. And when you don't know your father in a good way, when you have not been loved for and cared for and nurtured by your father, you can sometimes be challenged even in your relationship with Abba Father. So it's very important that a father is present to protect his daughter from offenses, to define certain incidents in her life so that she does not carry an offense into the marketplace or into her marriage. Being offended as a woman does not start when we are adults. It starts many times when we are young girls. Self-esteem. How we see ourselves. My dad was an incredible father. And my father was the first man to say to me, "You are beautiful." My father was the first man to say to me, "You are intelligent." My father was the first person to say to me, "If God has called you to do something, do it, and I will do it with you." It was my father that fought off the demons. It was my father that fought off those that were involved in ridiculing me, because I was a young girl, very talkative, and already at 4 years old, I was hearing from God. I could hear God. I preached my first sermon at 4 years old. And it was my father that encouraged it. It was my father that sat down with me and helped me to read the Bible. When a father is present in a girl's life, many of the decisions that she will make as an adult woman, many of the choices, even in relationships, can be determined by what the father establishes as profitable and edifying for his daughter. I'm going to pray before we leave today for those of you that are fatherless or have had a bad relationship with your father. This is what leads many women to having relationships with other women's husbands. Older men who offer you money, who offer you cars, who offer you homes. You are looking for your father. It is called father hunger. You don't really want the sex, but you want the security. And many times a married man who has not had a father himself will offer these gifts to women because they have this father hunger and they believe that they can get what they need from another woman's husband, only because your own father did not secure you properly. We're going to pray over that today and break that off of your life. Every woman that is having an affair with another woman's husband will stop today. It will stop today. You will no longer have a need for him. I talked about being offended, but the other thing we have to realize is that when we are offended as women, we know how to offend others. Having a relationship with another woman's husband is offending another woman. And you sow a seed of unrighteousness in your life that will carry from you and your daughter and your daughter's daughter. Because when you take another woman's husband, you set up a barrier for why would you hurt or offend another woman? Why would you do that to another sister? Only because you are looking for a father. You are looking for security, and you do not trust God, your father, to give you your own husband. Imagine how you would feel if you were married to a good man and you discovered that one of your sisters was now having sex with your husband. Imagine how you would be offended. Imagine how you would feel. So to every person that is in this room that is engaging in that type of behavior, today it will stop. Today, the entanglement, financial entanglement, emotional entanglement, sexual entanglement will be broken today in Jesus' name. Clap your hands. And I smell it. I can smell it. I know it's in the room. That's not God's best for your life. And that comes out of a spirit of offense. Many of us are offended sometimes with our fathers, or we are offended with our own brothers, or we are offended with other men in our life. And if there has ever been violation of rape or incest or any of the other things that puts barriers around us. Those are the things that offend us. Many times we don't talk about it. Many times we don't tell the fact that we have been. But today we're going to break barriers. We're going to break these barriers today. Because God's best for you is on the other side of your barrier. I'm telling you, I can tell you some stories of being offended. And sometimes the enemy will send a man in your life right at the most vulnerable part of your life and say all the things you want them to say. But he is another woman's husband. You have to determine that that is off limits to you. I will not engage in a relationship with another woman's husband because it will offend another woman. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he offers. I don't care what he says. I will not offend your wife by taking what belongs to her. Has to stop with you. And I know when I'm speaking to something prophetically. I know when it's in the room. I know when it is present, because when I hit something like this, it gets very quiet. But it is a barrier that we must break once and for all. It brings death. It brings destruction. I've not always been who I am today. I can speak to you out of my experiences. I can tell you that you can get into a relationship that is so entangling and so demonic that it will take some time, sickness and death, to get you out of it. That's not God's best for you. Lift your right hand and say, from today, I will never offend another woman by taking what belongs to her. In Jesus' name. You see how quiet it is? When it gets quiet like this, I know I'm walking in the midst of something. Very strategic. I'm being very strategic because I know when that spirit is present, it will steal, kill, and destroy. And we cannot let the devil use us against one another. We cannot. That must stop today. I want to talk about how you can become a woman that arises for the rest of your life. I want to show you a revelation of the scripture that God gave to me, that every woman today, if you will apply this, you will never have another barrier that will entangle you from today. Open your Bibles for just a moment. And it won't take me long to do this. To Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. And we are going to look at verse number 38. Luke 10 and 38. Hallelujah. Now, Holy Spirit, help me to share what you have put in my heart. Thank you that the hearts are open, the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. And today, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the superior blood of Jesus Christ, we as women shall break barriers. We shall arise to never fall again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 38. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. I want us all to read that verse together. Verse number 11, I want us to read that verse together. Let's read it. And Jesus answered and said to her, all of us read out loud together, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Let's read it one more time. And Jesus answered and said unto her, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Let's read loud. I want you to read loud because there are Marthas here today. There are Marthas in this room today. And what we want to do is to take every Martha and make her a Mary. Martha, Martha, what? You are worried and troubled. Read it again. Martha, Martha, what? Now, this time, call your name. Are you ready? Lay your hands on yourself. Call your name. One, two, three. You are worried and troubled about many things. Today, we are going to break that in Jesus' mighty name. All worry, all trouble is coming down. It is a barrier. Worry is a barrier. Being troubled, being anxious, being overly concerned about things, it is a barrier that we will break today. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. How do you become worried and troubled about many things when Jesus is in your house? Jesus is in your house and you are worried and troubled. He's not in the sky. He's in the living room. And you, instead of being in the living room, are in the kitchen. Certain cultural expectations. Sometimes being a woman, we think that we are always supposed to be busy doing something. We're trying to clean the house. We're trying to fry up the bacon. We are trying to work in the marketplace, trying to raise the children, trying to keep our husbands satisfied and happy, trying to be in the house of God, trying to serve God, trying to pray. We are worried and troubled about many things. And when you are this worried, and when you are this troubled, and this overwhelmed, and this busy, Jesus can be in your house and you do not know it. So close. But because you are worried, you overlook him. Because women, we can get worried and busy and troubled about many things. Bible says that Jesus, whenever he would go to this region, this was the home that he stayed in. This was his family, his friends. This is where he could be himself. This is where he could be private. He could teach the word. He could relax. And instead of Martha seizing the opportunity to spend time with him, she is worried and troubled about many things. She is offended by Mary because Mary will not help her. And when Martha goes to talk with Jesus about Mary, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and you are worried about things, but Mary has chosen the good part. Today, We are going to move from being worried, from being troubled. We're going to worry no more. We're going to be anxious no more. We are not going to allow all of the pressures and all of the expectations of others to get us away from Jesus. We are going back to Jesus. We are going back to Jesus. We are finding our purpose in Jesus. We're not going to let other expectations define us. We're going back to Jesus. I said, we're going back to Jesus. Tell your sister, we're going back to Jesus. Tell the one on the other side, we're going back to Jesus. Say again, tell somebody else on the other side, we're going back to Jesus. He knows our purpose. He knows our future. He knows what is best for us. We are going to renew our intimacy with Jesus. We're going to stop being so busy. And we're going to stop being so worried. And we're going back to the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice this. Verse number 39. Let's go back to that. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted. A barrier. Distractions. A barrier. Because what is all put upon a woman, the home, the marketplace, the ministry, many times we are so distracted. Am I talking to anyone? Let me just go over here. Over here. Are you listening? Are you listening over here? Who's listening? You're listening over here. Amen. They are not listening. Are you listening? Are you listening over here? They are not listening. By much serving. So we have to make rice. We have to make dodo. We have to make sauce. We have to make fish. We have to make beds. We have to wash faces. We have to brush teeth, sweep, comb hair, drive to school, then go to work, then bring the money home, do the laundry, iron the shirts, iron the clothes. Then we go back to the kitchen and we're cooking more rice. We're cooking more stew, more goosey. We are cooking more and more. We have more to do. We barely lay down. We want people to find that and not who we are. So we try to be so wonderful. We wear an S on our chest. We wear a W on our chest. We try to have solutions for every problem, answers for every question. And Jesus comes to our house and we are still distracted with much serving. Isn't that what women do? You don't have a valid prayer life. You're a woman. You don't have a valid ministry unless your husband endorses it. You're a woman. So serve. And when I decide that your ministry is good, then you have a ministry. That is a barrier in your minds. Jesus is in your house. He came to visit you. Lazarus is not there. Lazarus is dead. In a few scriptures, we're going to see what's the difference between how Mary and Martha handled trouble. Jesus went by to see Mary and Martha. Martha is serving. Mary is receiving impartation. Do you hear me over here? Let's see. Are you listening? Find yourself in this. Are you busy with much serving? Or do you spend quality time at the feet of Jesus so that you will know what his purpose is for your life? Mary was seated. Martha was distracted. Sometimes you come to church, you're distracted. You're thinking about the evening meal. You are looking like you are busy, like you are interested. You're not interested. You're sitting there thinking, how will I pay rent? Did I wash the dishes before I left? Are there enough clean clothes? You're sitting in church. You are sitting at Impact. You are sitting in a place where you can hear Jesus for yourself, but you are distracted. You look as if you are interested. You look as if you are paying attention, but you are not. I'm going to come over here. They don't want me anymore. I'm coming over here. Do you want me? Do you want what I'm telling you? Do you want me over here? Do you hear me? Today, we are going to break the barrier of distractions. You go home, Papa preached a good message. You don't remember. Pastor preached a good message. Pastor prayed a good prayer. Your body was here, but your mind was floating. You took notes. Papa's in the house, please. Amen. I didn't see you, sir. Come on, stand on your feet. Papa's here. Praise God. Open your mouth. I don't hear you. He preaches a message that will change your life, but you never heard it. You took notes, but when you got home, you can't read it. Come on, if I'm telling you the truth, am I telling you the truth? But today, we break it. Today, we break it. Today, we break it. Today, we break the barrier of distractions. You go home, you look at your notes. What was I writing? What did Papa say? You were writing upside down. You can't even remember what you wrote. Because your body was here, but you were distracted. You were worried and troubled about many things. And this is how the devil comes to destroy women, through our emotions, through our mind, by being distracted, by being worried. God has a plan for your life. He has prosperity for your life. He has creativity for your life. But you are too busy to receive the revelation. You are too busy. You are too distracted. You are too troubled. You are too worried. But today, we stop it. We interrupt it in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part. As we must spend time at the feet of Jesus. You cannot sacrifice that for it. Your family needs your prayer life. You need your prayer life. Your bishop needs your prayer life. Lady Rosa needs your prayer life. This nation needs your prayer life. When a woman is seated at the feet of Jesus, he whispers revelations. Oh, hallelujah. He shares secrets with women who are not worried, who are not distracted. He gives solutions and he gives answers when he has your full attention. It is Jesus that will give you the way to raise your children. It is Jesus that will tell you how to make your husband happy. It is Jesus that will tell you how to go in the marketplace and find money for the work of God. It is Jesus. And when we are seated without distractions at the feet of Jesus and not trying to prove our self-worth by our much busyness, that is when he captures your heart. He captures your emotions. When he captures your heart, when Jesus captures a woman's heart, she is invincible. When Jesus captures a woman's heart, because Jesus is a man. He knows how to talk to us. Oh, hallelujah. He can make love to our minds. He can make love to us like no other man. He knows the words that trigger worship. Jesus knows how to love his women. Jesus knows how to heal his women. Jesus knows. And when he captures a woman's heart, it is one thing for him to capture your spirit. But when Jesus captures a heart, lift your hands. Say, Jesus, capture my heart. I am your woman. You are my Savior. Capture my heart. When you love Jesus with all of your heart, when he captures your heart, not ministry, not marriage, Jesus captures your heart. When he captures the heart of a woman, she becomes an incredible force that no devil can dominate. No culture can imprison a woman when Jesus captures her heart. Jesus spoke to me the first time I was 3 years old. And then he spoke to me again, I was four. I began to preach his word at four. He spoon-fed me. I could barely read, but he spoon-fed me. And at 3 years old, I would get up and I would talk to Jesus. I loved Jesus as a little girl. Very early in my life, he captured my heart. I didn't even know about ministry. I didn't even know about church like that. I was raised in the church, but that wasn't what I ran after. There are so many women in ministry. They love ministry, but Jesus doesn't have their heart. Jesus has to capture our heart. What flows out of us is different than what flows out of a man. I don't want to run and jump. I want you to feel the heart of God. When I preach, I don't want to make you jump and shout, because that's not coming from my heart. I want you to feel what God is doing in my heart. I want you to know that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. I want you to see an example of a woman who is in love with Jesus, a woman that Jesus is in love with. I want you to see a woman who is still a woman with boldness, with authority, with power, with influence, with wealth. I don't want you to see me as a man. See me as a woman. I sit at his feet. He has captured my heart. I want Jesus to capture your heart. Revelation comes and Jesus captures a woman's heart. Music is born. Worship is born. When Jesus has captured a woman's heart, when Jesus has your full attention, you never have room for another woman's husband. You are still worried about many things, so you try to allow another man to have your heart. No. Jesus must capture our hearts. He will download revelation to us. He will download to us. What was Jesus saying to Mary that Martha never heard? What had her attention so that she did not move? What was this intimate moment about, that every time Jesus would come, Mary would stop her business, stop her serving, and sit at his feet? What was he saying to me? What revelation. What comfort, what solution was Jesus sharing with Mary? And it had to be almost quiet because Martha never heard it. She was in the same house, but didn't. When you are worried and troubled about many things, you cannot. But Jesus wants to say to you, because he will not fight over your job. He will not fight over your busyness. He will not fight over your worry. He will not fight over those other people in your ear. Jesus wants our attention. If we are to arise above every barrier, we must sit at his feet. I want to show you something. Go to John chapter number 11. And I'm almost finished. John chapter number 11. I want to show you, in times of trouble, you're going to see something. I want to paint a picture for us. I want you to see the difference between how Martha handles tragedy and how Mary handles tragedy. The Bible says that in John chapter number 11, that Lazarus has died. You know the story. And they had sent word for Jesus to come because Lazarus was now dead, and Jesus took his time in coming. When Jesus came, verse 17 of John chapter number 11, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now watch this. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles. And many of the Jews had joined the women to comfort them, Martha and Mary. But look at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat in the house. How do you treat it? Do you panic? Do you sit and wait? Notice, Martha was troubled. Martha was busy. Martha was running. Martha was nervous. Martha was in a panic. Martha was scared. Martha was afraid. You know why? Because all of the times that Jesus had come to her house, she never heard anything he said. Their only brother is dead. But watch this. Mary was unmoved. From today, you will be unmoved by tragedy. From today, you will be unmoved by persecution. Lift your hands. From today, nothing will trouble you. Nothing, because you know how to wait for Jesus. Mary waited until someone, Martha, came and got her and said, the master is looking for you. She never moved. Lazarus was dead. 4 days. She never moved. You know, while she was sitting at Jesus' feet, he was telling her things. That if this happens, this is what you do. If this happens, this is how you handle it. If something comes up to destroy your peace, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That I am a present help in the time of trouble. She had the mysteries. She had the secrets. Today, you will be a woman of secrets that Jesus will share with you. No more barriers. Are you listening to me? No more hindrances over your mind from today. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. I want you to know that it was Mary, when she got there, the Bible says, Effie, that she worshiped. Martha was screaming and hollering. But when Mary got there, Mary began to worship. And Jesus said, do you believe? And she said, Lord, I believe. And Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Move the stone. It was not the panic of Martha, but it was the peace of Mary that raised Lazarus Today, your prayer life is changing. No more yelling and screaming. Today, we're going to sit. Stand on your feet. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. We are breaking barriers through sitting at his feet and him capturing our hearts. I want to bless your life with financial miracles. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and said that if we will spend 3 days after impact sitting and listening at a specific time, each woman find your own time for about 20 or 30 minutes a day for 3 days. He is going to deposit in us innovative ideas that will bring supernatural wealth to your life. Lift your hands. But he says they must spend time with me. We're going to break every offense. We're going to break every distraction. We're going to, in the next 3 days after convention, when Papa closes it out on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even I will spend a dedicated time of 20 to 30 minutes. Every woman, we are leaving Martha. We are becoming Mary. We are leaving you, Martha. Bye-bye. We are becoming Mary. Hello. 3 days after, we are going to become Mary. And Jesus said to me this morning, he is going to speak to us women in the next 3 days. 30 minutes, 20 minutes, dedicated time, uninterrupted time, just us and him. He said, I will speak to each of them. Lay your hands on your head and began to say, Jesus, speak to me. I dedicate the next 3 days. Open your mouth. I will find time to sit. Some of you are going to get new ideas for businesses. Some of you are going to get new ideas on decorating your home. Some of you are going to get new ideas, creative ideas, how to do things that you have never been able to do. He said 3 days after impact is over, he is going to speak to every woman that spends a dedicated half hour with him. How many of you know I want to hear what he's going to say? I believe that there are men who will do it as well. He will speak to you too. But women, God says, if you'll come, uninterrupted time, dedicated time, for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he said, I will speak to you, and you will never again be Martha, but you will become Mary. You have chosen the good part. Now we come against every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus that will try to rob us of this intentional time. We take authority now in the mighty name of Jesus over every voice that will try to distract us, over every assignment that we feel we cannot lay down. We take authority now over the busyness of our minds and the busyness of our lives. We take authority now. We call for the spirit of organization that will begin to come in our life. And we will begin to organize our life and organize our thoughts and organize our time and organize our finances so that we can spend quality time with Jesus. I thank you, Father, that every woman here is blessed with the grace of organization. Every woman is graced right now with organization to organize all clutter, to come against everything that gets in the way of their time with Jesus. And then, Lord, I thank you that you will capture our hearts. Capture my heart, Lord. Capture my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, keep your hands on your head. Come on. And renew a right spirit within me. Oh, hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Oh. renew, come on. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Come on, let's sing that. Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord. Take not thy spirit away from me. Oh yeah, oh yes. Restore unto me, oh yes, the joy of thy salvation, oh yes, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh yes, Father, create in me a clean heart. Keep your hands on your head, you're praying. And renew the right spirit within me. Ooh. Create in me. Capture my heart. A clean heart. Oh God. And renew spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, cast me not away, not away from your presence, oh Lord. Take not your spirit away from me. Give me back the power. Give me back the joy. Restore joy, the joy, thy salvation. Help me to choose the good part and renew a right spirit within. From today, you will choose the good part. From today, you will choose the good part. From today, you will always choose the good part. You are a woman that arises over every barrier because you sit at the feet of Jesus. Restore to me the joy. I'm finished. The joy of my salvation. And renew a right spirit within. God bless you. I love you. God bless you. Come on, clap your hands if you receive it. Come on.
We know that you were blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop, located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.